Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's happening,
brother?
Hey, how you doing?
Ooh, I love this song.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer. For only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
What is going on, Tribe Family? Welcome to Tribe Family Channel, Incarcerated Lives Matter, the debut show. I'm your host, Valerie Shaw. Some old schoolers may remember my first published work, Black Hollywood, Yesterday, ages ago, or my first book, Impressions, The Black Woman's Guide to Pampering the Black Man. But today, I am consumed with the alarming number of principally black and brown incarcerated Americans. And so, along with my son, Andrew, who is also incarcerated, we founded Incarcerated Lives Matter to encourage inmate literacy, because once people learn to read and learn to write, everything changes, the game changes. In that regard, I'm meeting some amazing like-minded people who are doing incredible pioneering work to challenge the status quo of the prison industrial complex. Our guest tonight is just, they are just such a team as what Marvin is talking about. They are Patricia and Tyrone, the co-founders of Learn Everything About the Parole Process, or as all of us like to call it, LEAP, L-E-A-P-P. Through their tireless work, through the work of LEAP, lives have been transformed. Families have been given hope. And that people never thinking that they needed the services have come to LEAP for help. So if you have a loved one in jail or prison or just out, you do not want to miss this information and experience. Get a pencil and pen ready, because they are ready to share on Tribe Family Channel's Incarcerated Lives Matter. Welcome, Patricia. Welcome, Tyrone.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
How are you guys?
Well, we're doing well.
Wonderful. I would like to know first, parole process. That's something that almost no one ever thinks about. You think about the loved one behind bars, but the parole process, it's something that's very elusive, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Why?
And, well, because a lot of families are not aware or informed on what the parole process is and what they can do to help advocate for their loved ones. Some prisoners are not even aware. And a lot of the misconception is because of the lack of resources in the prison. So a lot of the times they feel like because the prison does not have any programs for them, then they cannot do anything to help themselves prepare for the parole board.
What kind of programs? What are you talking about? What do you mean programs? And what is the use of a program to getting parole? I mean, I don't understand the correlation.
Well, Valerie, this is Tyrone.
Okay, come on now.
The specific programs that we are regarding are self-help programs, such as CNA, CGA, conflict resolution courses, alternatives to violence. It's a vast variety of programs that we have to take. And not only as we take these programs does it transform us into different people than we were when we enter prison, it also shows the board of prison terms that we've changed.
Change. Okay, that's the big part, isn't it?
Yes, it's a big part. Because for one, speak for myself, when I went in, I was a lost person. When I went in, I was selfish, and I had no regard for anyone else. But as I took these courses and applied the things that I've learned, I realized what it was. I was a hurt person, and that hurt was manifesting itself in anger, to which I became disruptive, and I started committing crimes and things like that.
And so programs, so actually you guys are saying that there are things that someone incarcerated can do, A, to change their circumstance, and B, accelerate the parole process or to impress the commissioners or whoever decides whether you're going to get parole or not. What is it? What's the impact?
The impact is, as we delve into ourselves through these self-help programs, and there's no right or wrong program, as long as usually they're spiritually based and talk about spiritual healing. But as we delve into these programs and reflect into ourselves, we get to understand the nature of our behavior and how it impacts ourselves as well as other people, the people that we hurt and take advantage of. And as we do these things, it comes a time that we say to ourselves, sort of a light bulb moment, well, I don't want to be this person anymore. And we start distancing ourselves from the problematic ways that we were practicing. And the way this expert, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Don't be sorry. Our producer likes to say that we are live on Tribe. So all we're trying to do is just bring it real and tell the story. You guys doing LEAP, that's learned everything about parole process. Patricia, how did you guys think, why come up with that concept? Why do people need that kind of direction?
So when I started on this journey with my husband when he was incarcerated, at that time, I'm talking about 10 years ago, there weren't any organizations or support groups out here to help us.
But you were not incarcerated. He was incarcerated. Is that right?
My husband was incarcerated. He had a life sentence with the possibility of food.
So I would feel
hopeless and helpless not being able to help him. Hiring an attorney was out of the question. And oftentimes we didn't have anyone that we could go for help or support on what is it that he could do to be ready for the parole hearing. There wasn't a lot of groups or literature out there. I met this amazing woman, Clozell Woodmore. She would go by Mooka. She was a liberated lifer, and she started her own program, and it was called Voices of Hope, Lifers, Families, and Friends.
Wait a minute. What is a liberated lifer? What is that?
A liberated lifer is a person that had a life sentence, and it's now home.
Wow. Are there a lot of those cases? Or are there a growing number? Is that a trend?
It's a growing number. The board is getting better with adhering with the laws and the guidelines. And the thing is that if our incarcerated loved ones go before the board and they meet the criteria that the board has in order what they consider to be found suitable, there's no reason why the board should deny them. In the event that the board does deny them, then the person can do what's called a writ of habeas corpus and take it to the courts and challenge the board's decision.
So now, you're not a paralegal, but LEAP goes into all of this and talks about all of this at your monthly meetings. Is that right?
Right. We're not paralegals, but we do have the information. We do work with some attorneys that have come to our meetings and share their experience and their expertise in the area.
Tyrone, you're a liberated lifer. Are you one of the liberated lifers that we're talking about here?
Yes, I am.
Wow. Okay, so then you guys get together and you say that there are other people that can be helped by this, by learning this, because, Patricia, now you said that you got the information and started meeting other people who were involved in, I guess you'd call it a movement now, Michelle Alexander's brilliant book, The New Jim Crow. Just affirmed the fact that of the 2.5 million people that are incarcerated, most of them are people of color.
Yes, they are. And that's a sad fact. And, you know, I recall when me and Patricia started on this journey, I was deeply saddened and impacted by her lack of knowledge. Neither one of us had any knowledge as to how to fight. But
in the beginning, then you're feeling hopeless, Tyrone?
Yes.
I mean, you're feeling you're not a liberated lifer, you're a lifer.
I'm a lifer.
Whoa. Then what?
And seeing her in tears, not knowing what to do, feeling helpless, not knowing if this was going to work out, feeling hopeless, and... you know, I was crushed. I hate to fear like this. It didn't make me feel good. And so as we started this journey and we started meeting people, because the groups became more aware, thanks to Muka, she pointed Patricia in this direction, that direction, and literally carried her along the journey, the first part of it, educating her. And as she would educate
on how they help you.
Yes, because most families think it's about phone calls, it's about visits and packages in the monetary aspect of the thing. But it's much, much more than that. And they can become activists for their loved ones and hold their loved ones accountable. That's what Patricia came. When she came into my life and started learning more, she began holding me accountable for my actions. I could no longer blame other people in the situation. I could no longer, you know, just cast aside my responsibility and point fingers. And she helped me with that. And sooner than later, I became entrenched in self-help. Whereas before, I didn't think it was terrible. Yes.
Is that what it takes? It takes that kind of commitment to change, to actually make the change that's going to make the difference.
Yes, it takes that. It takes entrenched. We use a word in one of my groups, CGA, called trudge. When you trudge, like you trudge through the snow, it's not an easy walk through the snow. You're knee deep in the snow and you trudge through. Well, we trudge through recovery. And that takes looking back into ourselves where insight comes along. Insight is the primary key to obtaining a grant of parole and becoming a liberated lifer.
But
insight is.
But wait a minute. You also say that Patricia, right? Patricia,
yes.
You gave him the insight because you didn't accept any more BS. You didn't accept anything. So you were a big part of the change, too. That's where loved ones come in, isn't it?
Absolutely. And like Tyrone said, it's keeping and making them accountable. It's. I'll give you an example. Unfortunately, some family members, and I won't speak ill about it, they get cell phones for their loved ones because, you know, they want to speak to them and what have you. And so on one of our visits, Tyrone said, he didn't tell me directly, I want a phone, but he insinuated he wanted a phone. And I told him that was fine. I said I would get him the phone because the reason these prisoners have phones is because the family members pay for them. So
right.
I told him he could have a phone. And I said, just remember one thing. When the weekend comes and they don't call your name for a visit, don't ask yourself why. When your mail comes back to you, return to sender. When I don't write to you, don't ask yourself why. Look at your phone and that's the reason why. I said, I'm not here to make this my permanent home where I come to visit you every weekend. I'm here to help you come home. And right now, you cannot have a phone and a wife at the same time. Because having a phone is breaking the rules and the laws inside the prison. So if I were
But wait a minute. The family thinks that they're helping the loved one by getting them a phone, right?
Right. Well, you know, whatever their circumstance may be, the thing is we have to not enable them, but help them start making better choices and not break the law. Because when they go to the board's going to check and see if they continue to get in trouble. And if they continue to get in trouble, the board's going to say, wait a minute, if you cannot follow the rules under a confined environment, what leads us to believe you're going to be able to follow the rules on the free world? So they look at all of that. It's not just
inside. That's logical.
Inside.
That's very logical.
Right. And so, you know, and Tyrone made a great choice. He decided that he wanted a wife, and now he has a phone, and he's been through more phones than I have in my lifetime, and he loves it, and he can have all the phones that he wants now.
So no phones. What can a family do to help a loved one? What can they do? Thinking about Tyrone.
What a family can do is be no nonsense about it. We have one goal, and we share this goal. If I'm sitting in prison and I'm telling my loved one, I really want to come home, and my loved one is telling me, I really want you home, then we have to be of one mind. We have to be on one mind. Then you're going to do everything in your ability to make it home. You're going to do what you have to do to make it home, point blank. And if that means cutting loose my negative friends, if that means going to group, if that means doing the things that I need to do to educate myself and better myself and change my thinking and thought process.
Which is what you were talking about before, you guys, both of you, insight.
Insight. Yes.
Insight. So,
insight.
So the person has to have that insight to get out.
Yes. In previous years, a generation ago, the board, what their swan song was heinousness. They would always deny people, lifers, parole because of the heinousness of the crime. Fortunately, the facts of each crime will never change. It would always be heinous. Always. You can never change that fact.
What?
However, they came, that was changed, and now their swan song is insight. Now, if I have insight, understanding, into the heinousness of the crimes that I've committed against society. If I know why, the root causes that led me to do that, my thought processes, the influences surrounding those thought processes, and ultimately my choice in committing those crimes, and I can articulate that, that's what they want to hear. They don't want to hear minimization, oh, it was his fault, oh, I did this because he cut me off, oh, I did this because we were high on drugs or drunk, or I did this because he was a rival gang member. No, that's an excuse. That's an excuse.
Now, helping a family, people on the outside, understand more about Insight, I understand that that's the topic of the next LEAP meeting. Patricia, is that right?
Yes, it is.
Making
amends and Insight, yes, because they're synonymous. If you have no insight, then the amends process is mute without insight.
Give me a few examples, you guys. Families, because I went to one of your meetings. I was very impressed. I met a family in particular. But tell me about some of the families you've helped change their mind about what they needed to do to help their loved ones.
Well, with the families that we work with, what changed their minds is understanding the role that they can play in being able to help their loved one be prepared for the parole board. The thing is they don't understand what the process is. Some families think that, oh, they're just going to go and then they're going to let them out. But it's
right,
more to
right, right, right. That's what you think. Because they're supposed to be out on December 18th, 2019, right?
Right.
They go before the parole board. So
right.
Aren't they automatically out?
That's what some families thought, that, oh, well, when they go to the board, they're going to let them out. But they don't understand that it's a process and that there's suitability factors that the board, the prisoner has to meet. Now, the purpose, and it's on the Title 15, of the prisoner's handbook, the purpose of the parole hearing is the parole suitability hearings are held to determine if an inmate currently poses an unreasonable risk of danger to society. That's the whole purpose. The board wants to see if they're currently a risk of danger to society. If released from prison, the panel will consider all relevant, reliable information available to the panel. So what we do is we help the families understand the process, know how they can play a key role in that, and put together a parole portfolio that the prisoner can take to their parole hearings. And that portfolio is to demonstrate to the board who they are today.
Yeah,
because
to me, what you're saying gives me more power as a loved one of someone incarcerated. It makes me feel like there's something I can do just besides sending a package or writing a letter or paying a visit. I can be an active participant in helping my loved one. In my case, it is my son.
Yes, yes. Things happen for a reason. And so in this process, you learn to understand, you learn to open up, you learn to be honest, you learn to be open, you learn to be vulnerable with one another, and you learn to share. And so it only makes your relationship stronger because you're able to do all of the elements that I just mentioned, the honesty, the openness, the vulnerability. And then you have trust with each other, and your son will know that all along, all you have is the best interest for him. At the same time, he will learn how to make alternatives for poor choices that he was making. And the families will also learn that, you know what, if he's triggered this way, I'm his accountability coach or I'm her accountability coach, and so I'm going to do this. At the same time, as the families are going through this journey, we're a support network for them. Sometimes loved ones get denied, and the families feel bummed out. They feel upset, they're depressed, or whatever. And so we're their support network to lift them up and let them know, okay, it's not the end of the world. Let's read the transcript. Let's see what the board said that they still need to work on, and let's go from there. And we're going to continue pushing. And I say that by experience. When my husband was denied.
So in other words, LEAP is like a support group for for families or for people who had been, a liberated lifer? Well, and
yes.
I met at the meeting, I met a few liberated lifers. One, this gentleman, isn't he giving a seminar in April? Oh, fantastic guy. Just passed the bar. And he's a liberated lifer. I was amazed. And he's brilliant.
Yes. Well, through LEAP, he was inspired. He's from the Riverside area. And so he's from the Riverside area. And he was inspired by what we do. Steve Bell was inspired to do to have meetings in the Riverside area for families, because there's families throughout California. And so LEAP mainly works in the Los Angeles area, and he asked if we could help him in putting together the seminar. So he's working on that, and he has a seminar. It's on our Facebook that's coming up on April 2nd. It'll be from 9 to 12, and it'll be similar to how LEAP runs their meetings, educating the families on what the parole process is, teaching the families on how their loved ones can prepare for their parole hearing, and then also the challenges when they come home. And they'll
listeners can find out more information through LEAP. And at the end of the show, of course, we're going to tell people how to get in touch with LEAP and how to get in touch with Incarcerated Lives Matter. And by the way, if anyone has any questions of Patricia or Tyrone, which you may, please call the Tribe Family Channel at 347-539-5285. That's 347-539-5285. If not, we know that you are listening with a pen and a pencil, although Patricia is. Tyrone, you talk a little bit slower, but Patricia be rattling this stuff off, which is why everyone needs to come to the next LEAP meeting, which is, let's make that little plug right now. When's the next LEAP meeting?
The next LEAP meeting is this Saturday.
Can't hear you.
The next meeting is this Saturday, February 27th, from 10 to 12:30 p.m. at Chuco Justice Center.
Okay, you sound like you're talking in a tunnel. Tyrone, give us that information.
Okay, can you hear me?
Say it again.
Can you hear me? The next
meeting is when? Where? How?
The next meeting is February 27th at Chuco Justice Center, 1137 East Redondo Boulevard, Inglewood, California.
That's right at the railroad tracks where Redondo and West Boulevard and Florence come together, and Chuco's, of course, has all that colorful stuff going on in front, but watch where you park.
Yes. It's from 10 to 12:30 in the afternoon. The topic, go ahead.
Making amends and insight, right?
Yes.
And that's for the benefit of the family being able to help the inmate discover those qualities in themselves that are going to give them that insight. Is that right, you guys?
Yes, it's right.
What is the short-term and the long-term goal of LEAP? Okay, I mean, you've started this great organization. people are coming together that have never thought that they'd be in this situation, but you're giving families hope, even for their lifers, which is just incredible. And what's your goal? What's your goal with LEAP?
Ultimately, our goal with LEAP is what it says.
You sound like you're talking in a tunnel. Please come to the phone.
Okay, I'm sorry. I had it on speaker.
No.
Ultimately, hello?
No speaker. No speaker, you guys. Come on now. We're live.
Okay. I'm sorry. Ultimately, the goal of LEAP, the vision of LEAP, is to empower families. To empower families in gaining the knowledge to do the things that it's going to take to help their loved ones get home. Because there's far too many people of color incarcerated right now with their loved ones on the street who has no clue as to what they can do, the vital role that they do play in bringing their loved ones home. We get this sense of complacency where our loved ones inside say, oh, I'm all right, everything is okay. And we believe that, but everything is not okay because they're in prison for life. And if they don't do the things that they need to do to educate themselves, then it's going to go on, and the hurt continues. So we want to empower people. The long-term
Wait a minute, you guys. Most people are in denial that they even, that they're, A, that there is a problem, and B, that it's baby brother or it's daddy or uncle or auntie or sister or child in prison.
That was me.
How do you overcome the denial of the family, or how do you attract the family to want to get involved? Do you think that saying that you can help empower your loved one, do you think that'll be enough to get them involved in the process?
Well, every family that attends any program, they go because they're hungry for knowledge. They go because they feel they need to do more.
You mean and, we?
Yes,
we go.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And when we go to the groups, something that someone says will trigger something and influence them, their thought process, into saying, oh, you know, it's like a light bulb moment for everybody involved. And the families on the inside, the guys and girls inside, we go through these programs, the self-help, where when we stop playing the blame game, when we take responsibility and admit to our loved ones that, hey, mom, it wasn't your fault. Dad, it wasn't your fault. It wasn't the homie's fault. It was my fault. I made a choice. Then that helps the family along the way. See, lifers, we're at times pretty reclusive. You know, first we go in and we have no hope. So we do a lot of things that hopeless people do. We get addicted to drugs. We get addicted to politics and the criminal element while in prison.
Tyrone, not just lifers,
yes,
but anyone.
Anyone,
especially for
yes,
any kind of length of time.
Yes,
that seems irreversible.
Yes.
You know, you go in and they give you a 25-to-life sentence or a 10
yes,
or 15-year sentence, and you're only 18, which means that, you know, you're not getting out until your late 30s. That
yes,
is a lifetime.
I like to tell and share with people that any amount of time
away. I can't hear you. Come off the speaker.
No, we're not on the speaker anymore. I like to share with people that regardless of the amount of time, if it's one day, if it's 20 years, regardless of that, you're spending time away from your family, away from the things you love, that's a lifetime. That's a lifetime. And so, in these cases, we like to educate our guys. And I work with the guys on the inside. You know, it's just not out here. I work with the guys on the inside as their motivator, as their sponsor, as their accountability coach, as their mentor. The families
what,
that attend are
what,
our, the families
what
that,
Patricia did for you, you're doing for others?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How wonderful.
Paying it forward. Yes. You know, so, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and jive. Sometimes I just want to live my life and just disappear. You know, but you know what? I have a bigger calling. I was placed in this position for a reason. And the reason is to help other people, you know, that's taking this thing seriously because it's very serious.
And,
so
and Patricia, you feel the same kind of dedication?
Yes. I teach.
How long has LEAP been in existence?
LEAP has been in existence for a little over 2 years.
Wow.
And it began before my husband came home. It'll be 2 years that my husband came home in April, and LEAP was already in existence. So shortly after he...
How long did it actually take you to go through the parole process with Tyrone?
From when I started learning about it until he came home, it was 5 years. He went to the board. The first time we still didn't know about the parole board, the parole process. The second time he went to the board, we already were beginning to understand and know better. The third time that he went to the board, a year before he was supposed to go to the board, my friend that taught me everything passed away. And it rocked my world because she was my rock. She was teaching me everything. And so, but I couldn't let go all of the information that she had given me, all the knowledge, let it go in vain. And so we continued pushing, and we continued working hard. And so then Tyrone went to his hearing, and he was granted. And everything she had taught me and told me, it came to light. It was true. And she gave up herself so selflessly. And so this is why LEAP came about. Because we want to pay it forward. We want families to experience what we experience every day. It's such a joy to have my husband home every day. Every day it's a blessing, and I can't forget that. And so
Wait a minute. Do you hear that, listeners? Do you hear the hope? Do you hear the promise that there is something you can do? And instead of wringing your hands and or denying that Bubba is in jail, there's something you can do. You can take a giant leap forward by learning everything about the parole process. And what both of you are saying is that it's not learning everything about parole. It's a process. And,
yes,
and
it is.
Starting with insight, that it's a process. It's something that takes time, but
yes,
it's worth
it. Yes, it is.
Is that right?
Yes, it is. I'm living that worthiness. I'm living it every day that my husband's next to me. I'm living that. All our hard work paid off.
Do you think that or tell, you know, just take a random shot at this, but at what percentage of people denied parole with tools could gain parole? I mean, would it be 50%, 25%? What do you think?
Well, I don't know about a percentage of, you know, the people that would be denied parole with the proper tools, but what I do know is that the board is adhering more to the guidelines. Also, it's important for families to know that if their loved one committed a crime up to their 22nd birthday, there's two laws that passed. One of them passed in January. It's called SB 260 and SB 261. What that means is
SB Senate Bill 260 and SB 261.
Right.
Okay.
It's called the Youth Offender Parole Hearing. It's the same process as a regular parole hearing, with the exception that the commissioners put great weight on the fact that they were not fully developed. Their brain was not fully developed at the time that they committed their crime. They still have to have the insight and everything else that goes with it. Instead of going to the board, if they had, let's say, 25 years to life plus 15 for an enhancement plus 15 more for another enhancement, that would be 55 to life. So instead of waiting and doing the 55 years, now what they do is they take the longest prison term, the determinant one, which would be the 25, and at their 20th year of incarceration, they can start going to their parole hearings. So it's important for families to learn all of that. We have a guideline that we can email the family, and they.
So in other words, if their loved one committed the crime as a youth, then
the youth
AB 260 and 261 may apply.
Yes, up to their 23rd birthday. So they had to be 22 years of age and younger when they committed the crime, not when they were convicted, when they committed the crime. And they qualify for SB 260, SB 261, and it's called the Youth Offender Parole Hearing.
What if their sentence was just 5 years or 6 years or something? I mean, it wasn't 15 or 25 or life.
Then they wouldn't qualify. If they have a determinant sentence, and it's a lengthy determinant sentence, let me check on the guideline. But on the guideline, it tells you, if they have a five-year, then, you know, chances are they don't qualify because it's a short period of time. But based on the guidelines that they have, if the longest term for the determinant, meaning that they don't have life, it'll be on their 15th year of incarceration.
Okay.
So let's say they got 25 years.
Determinant means that they do have a date to get out.
Yes. Yes.
And indeterminate means life?
Life.
Indeterminate is a word, I have to actually look it up in a thesaurus, but my understanding of indeterminate means undetermined.
Right.
With a big question mark. But
right.
You're saying that indeterminate means life.
Indeterminate
is
the life sentence.
Am I reading you right?
Indeterminate is a person that has a life sentence. Determinant is a person that has a date to get out.
Wow. So some people have a determinant sentence, still be helped through the process of understanding parole. Is that correct?
Yes.
Even though
they
it's a determinant sentence?
Right, because they probably got... let's say they were given 50 years. And so on their 15th year of incarceration, they qualify to start going to the youth offender parole hearing, as opposed to waiting to serve the 50 years. On their 15th year, they can start going to their hearings.
Which means they should be prepared which means
that's
where the family comes in to help them develop the skills that will help them at the parole hearing.
Right.
Right?
And, yes, and preparation should not be 6 months before the hearing. Preparation starts now. Let's say the person is going to the hearing in 3 years. Do not wait a year before they go to the hearing. They need to start taking all of the self-help because they want to change their mindset. They want to change their character. They want to change who they were to who they are now. And the families need to start being involved and gathering resources for them, being a part of that preparation.
And it, so a family, it really is pivotal, is important.
Very pivotal.
Or the loved ones are important to the parole process.
Yes, very
and that's
important.
Something, I think that's something that most of us don't know or, no, I think we don't know. I was going to say don't acknowledge, but I really think the word is that we don't know. We don't know that. That we can play that kind of active role and become involved with our loved ones. I mean, we think that sometimes we think out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
You know?
It's true.
But,
it's true.
Yeah.
That was my husband. He was out of sight, out of mind. And, you know, once we started getting involved and learning and understanding, knowledge is power, and understanding, then we started preparing. And on the first try, you know, we still didn't know much about the process. He was denied. On the second one, there was a law that came into effect called Marcy's Law. And Marcy's Law, they can be denied in increments of 3, 5, 7, 10, or 15 years. This law came into effect in 2009. Before, depending on their crime, they were denied up to 5 years max. But now it has changed. Now, again, it's 3, 5, 7, 10, or 15. My husband was denied. Go ahead.
Three times. Twice. Denied twice, and you were, Tyrone, you were accepted for parole on the third try. Is that
on
right?
On the third try.
Okay.
The third try.
That's not bad. That's not bad,
no.
Especially for someone with an indeterminate sentence.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Now,
yes.
Okay, as Michelle Alexander tells us all, there are over 2 million people in prison. We know that 60% of them are minorities. Why isn't this an issue in our community? And either one of you, please feel free to answer. Because I don't understand. I don't understand why, with so many of us incarcerated, why there's no hue and cry, why this is not a major issue, which is what, of course, you know, why I founded Incarcerated Lives Matter, because I don't want people to forget their loved ones if they are locked up. It doesn't mean that they're locked up forever. As a matter of fact, one statistic says that, I read it a few times, that 90% will be paroled. So therefore, that means that 90% will be on the streets or they will be embraced by the community. So my question to you both is, where's everybody? Where's everybody?
It's a definite cry for help. Where is everybody? Unfortunately, it's the culture. It's the culture of the places that people of color reside. And in most cases, until it happens to you, you're not a part of the conversation until it happens to you.
Ooh, you're talking at the choir right now. Because I come from a very middle class family, and everyone went to college, including me, and it never in life could I see myself in line to visit someone behind bars, someone with in a phone behind the glass.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
To look
because,
at the barbed
because,
wire, to take
because,
the trip, to take the
right.
trip. And some people do take the trip once a month or once a week or, you know, I commend them, but it's a very difficult thing. But so back to my question, where is everybody?
That's the mission of LEAP. LEAP, we're looking for everybody. And we're inviting everybody to come on in, scream, shout, and kick. Scream, shout, and kick and say, no, this needs to stop, and we're going to do everything that we can to make it stop. Because as liberated lifers come home, as we come home, we are the vessels in which we're put in this place where we can help. And it's understandable that some people just want to live and fade into the sunset, but you have those like us, me and Patricia, who want to help. We want to assist families. We want to say, hey, come on in, because this has to stop.
So in other words, you want to do outreaches at churches and golf clubs and bowling clubs and women's groups and fraternities and in other words, outreach to the community. We are all affected. Everyone has someone behind bars.
When one crime happens in a community on one street, there's a ripple effect, and this ripple effect reaches far beyond our imagination. So just because it happened on one street doesn't mean the entire community, the local government, and the state, it's all impacted by one act. And we want everybody to come on in. We want to talk to everybody. We want to talk to churches. We want to talk to local groups. We want to talk to the police. We want to talk to the commissioners and the lawmakers and come up and devise a plan to help stem this, help nip it in the bud. You know, because go ahead.
No, I don't see why not. I mean, I don't see why not. I don't understand. I don't understand it's not an opposition. It's more like a community apathy. You know what I mean? It's like this is a problem that does not exist, or that we don't talk about it in polite society, or something like that. I don't know.
It's almost a taboo issue. It's almost a taboo issue that the only ones that are talking about this are the ones that's immediately impacted by this. But it should be a group discussion amongst all the community leaders, amongst all the community entities.
Let me ask a question. Patricia, would you have been involved had you not been involved with Tyrone, I mean his friends first and intimates later? But would you have been consumed with this issue were it not for Ty?
No, I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have been involved in all the activism that I do had it not been for Tyrone. It wouldn't have made me the compassionate teacher that has empathy for my students when I see how incarceration affects their learning. I would have probably judged them differently, but because I see firsthand the struggle, it has given me compassion and empathy towards the families that I work with. It makes me a more resourceful teacher, where I'm able to provide services and resources for them, people that they can call, places that they can go to, for assistance. The same with my students. When they come to me and they cry to me and they tell me they miss their daddy because their daddy's in prison, it makes me more compassionate, where I encourage them to draw a picture, write a letter, or something to help them feel better. And I make sure I make contact.
I was going to add that, of course, our goal at Incarcerated Lives Matter is to encourage literacy so that inmates can write instead of taking that cell phone and calling mama or, you know, hi, I love you, and that's that. Learning how to write and how to just gaining the skills that it's going to take on the outside to live a productive life. They still have to have literacy skills. And so many people I've talked to that are behind bars are consumed with getting a television. I'm saying, hey, give them a dictionary.
Right.
Give them a thesaurus.
Right.
Give them a notebook.
Right. Expand their vocabulary.
Yeah. Give them a pen. Or I don't think you can give a pen, but you could certainly give pads of paper and stamps and envelopes. And instead of sending a card, write a letter. Okay.
Right.
You don't have literacy skills. Well, maybe this will help you. Maybe. And I think you said this early on in the conversation, that there's a purpose for everything, and that you can gain from this experience. Is that what you were saying?
Absolutely. There's a purpose, and you know, we have to be actively involved. And like you said, it's not about I'm in total agreement about packages or phone calls, or visits, but it's about setting goals. When you come home, what are we going to do? What are you doing now to better yourself?
Remind us again when the next meeting is.
The next meeting will be this Saturday, February 27th, at Chuco's Justice Center, 1137 East Redondo Boulevard in Inglewood, from 10 to 12:30 in the afternoon.
While we're on this subject, how do people, and we're going to get this information again, just in case your pen runs out of ink, or you don't have one handy, or you're in the other room. We're going to give it one more time before the show is over, but tell us, how do people get in touch with me?
They can email us at leapinfo.
That's learn everything about the parole process, folks. Go on.
leapinfo@gmail.com. They can also like us
that's
on Facebook.
LEAPP.
INFO.
Uh-huh.
At gmail.com.
Uh-huh.
They can also like us on Facebook, learn everything about the parole process, send us a message, and we'll be happy to get in contact with them.
Be a friend of Leap. You write out, learn everything about the parole. You have to put the in there?
Yes.
To learn everything about the parole process.
Yes, learn everything about the parole process for Facebook. For Gmail, it's only leap with two P's, info@gmail.com.
Perfect. And of course, everyone can get in touch with Incarcerated Lives Matter. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. And now we are also offering Incarcerated Lives Matter little bracelets because I think that if about 5 million people were wearing Incarcerated Lives Matter, that we might make some kind of an impact. And your proceeds, of course, will go towards the literacy goals of these wonderful organizations like LEAP. On Twitter, you can reach us at R, that's the letter R, capital Lives, capital L-I-V-E-S, Matter, capital M-A-T-T-E-R. That's R, Lives Matter. That's on Twitter. And on Facebook, we're at Incarcerated Lives Matter, the number 2. Incarcerated Lives Matter, number 2. And the merchandise that we are now offering is at the Tribe Family Channel, tribefamilychannel.com/33HTML. I don't think you need all that. I think it's just tribefamilychannel.com. And, of course, they are the sponsors of Incarcerated Lives Matter. And our guests, Tyrone and Patricia, co-founders of LEAP, which is Learning Everything. And I mean, I'm not talking about just a little bit. I'm saying learn everything about the parole process. Not parole, but parole process, folks. It's a process. So go on. Tell us more.
Well, I wanted to interject about a question you asked earlier in regards to the percentage of inmates that would get released.
Yes.
Versus what? Like Patricia, I'm not into the numbers, but I can say this, and it's a fact. If you don't prepare, if you don't change, if you don't participate in these group activities, the chances on getting a grant of parole to zero.
Whoa, that's a percentage. I mean, zero is a big percentage.
Absolutely, it is.
It's huge.
It's huge and it's absolute. And I say this because the board's objective, their job, is to determine if we pose a risk of dangerousness if released. If I go into prison for a violent crime and I do nothing, what grounds do they have to say I'm no longer a threat?
Or even a nonviolent crime.
Or even a nonviolent crime. The point is,
if you haven't changed, then you're still in danger of the same destructive behavior.
Exactly. And they will not release me because the commissioners, there's a commissioner and a deputy commissioner. And the commissioner is appointed. The deputy commissioner, he's a civil servant.
Wait a minute. The parole board that we hear about, I mean, we see it on Perry Mason. The parole board is not a board like a boardroom of Incorporated, but two people. Are we saying it's two people?
Yes.
Oh my God.
When we go before the board, we go before a commissioner, a deputy commissioner, a representative from the district attorney office, our attorney, and the security from the prison.
Okay. Let me ask you a question, quick one, and then go back to it. Few in jail?
Absolutely. That's his or her job to counter everything you say, to point out how whatever you're doing, it's not enough to let you out.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so you got four people. You got the commissioner, the deputy commissioner, the district attorney, and then your counsel?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And at times, in a lot of cases, a representative representatives from the victim's family or the victim, him or herself. Yes.
And the victim and the victim's family or the victim wants your butt behind bars until you die.
Absolutely.
Okay,
so
that's two. Wait a minute. So that's maybe two neutrals and the district attorney against and the victim's family or the victim against. And so who's on your side?
You are on your side, God is on your side, and your attorney is on your side.
Is this an appointed attorney? Is this like the public defender that yawned
at
the trial?
At times, at times you might get an appointed attorney where the board, attorneys that the board employs to come and represent you. Other times, if you're financially capable, you can hire your own attorney to represent you. However, you can hire the best attorney. And if you can't go in there and, for lack of a better term, sell yourself, show yourself, and display how you're no longer that person, then the best attorney can't help you.
So it's up to you.
It's up to you.
Okay, question then. Can the worst attorney, can an attorney who just read the case 10 seconds before he walks into that hearing, and you, if you got all of the evidence of a change, insight, relevant programs, et cetera, will you be?
Yes.
Can you stand
yes.
in your own defense, even with the worst defense?
I believe so. I believe so because in most cases, well, the attorney's job is to sit there and make sure your rights aren't violated. They learn that in the bar. So that's primarily their job. And at the end of the hearing, they'll make a final statement, counter anything that the DA has put out against you. They'll point out that, well, that's the past. He's done this since then. He or she has stayed out of trouble for X amount of years and has displayed a visual change in thoughts and behavior. Pretty much that's their job.
So what you're doing is giving them the script. You produce the script, you write the script, you give it to them, they are the actors, and they read the script. So even a dodo could present your case.
Yes, in most cases, dodos do present our cases too.
Okay, keep it real. This is TribeFamilyChannel.com, folks. We are keeping it very real. Like our producer loves to say, we are live on Tribe. So that
live
is
on Tribe.
And, of course, what's going on is a theme song, which is so absolutely perfect. I was listening to the lyrics again. And what you, Tyrone and Patricia, are doing is so in keeping with what Marvin was talking about and what we need to be doing as a society. I hope that you are very, very successful and that soon enormous, enormous audiences will be attracted to the message because you're both dynamic speakers. I know that. Tricia, your knowledge is awesome. And Tyrone, of course, you've got that firsthand info on, what do we call it, lifers, would you say?
What, liberated lifers?
Yes.
Our insight.
Say it again. I love it.
Liberated lifers with insight.
I love it. I absolutely
yes.
love it. I think, Tyrone, that everybody feels a hopelessness if their loved ones are facing that kind of sentence. I want to congratulate you because it does take enormous strength to overcome the obstacle of thinking you'll never get out. That must be the first one. I think I would give up. I can't even imagine how I would cope with, I'm going to get out. I'm going to get out in spite of everything. I'm going to get out.
That's the thing. That's you know, awesome. the families of incarcerated people, they aren't the only ones that feel hopeless. I felt hopeless. And when Patricia came back into my life,
Come back into the phone.
Yes.
You're talking in the tunnel.
Oh, okay. When Patricia came back into my life.
Much better. Oh, God. You are taxing my eardrums. I just want you to know that. But I hope our listeners are being able to hear every word you say because it's so important, folks. This is important info, and everybody, there needs to be standing room only at the meeting this Saturday. I'm not kidding, because information from LEAP is invaluable, invaluable to families and loved ones.
The information from LEAP is critical in bringing your loved one home. It's critical because without this information, then there continues to be
talk louder. Talk into the phone.
Because without this information, there continues to be hopelessness and misguidedness. You know, we don't have to go out and run and hire the most expensive lawyer. We have to have our loved ones do what they need to do. It's a step-by-step process. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. I didn't come the person I was overnight. It was a process in recovery from that to recover into the person that I was supposed to be took a process.
But you know what? Everything is a process. If you want to lose
weight, yes, it is.
If you want to lose weight, you can't lose 50 pounds overnight. If you want to be rich, you're not going to be. I look at all the people that buy the lotto tickets, you know, standing in line for 2-3 hours, and no one got a magazine or a newspaper or nothing. But you think you're going to hit it rich? No. So everything really is a process, isn't it?
Yes, and that's what we try to educate families, because as you were saying early, we think just because he has a December 15th parole date that it's just going to happen. It's not going to happen. You know what I mean? Right now, the board system with the commissioners, well, they're following the laws and the guidelines. And I know of a couple individuals who were granted parole on their initial hearing. But these guys, they did the work in advance. They got ready long before they were to appear before the board. It starts right now. It starts now. So
right
when
now.
You go
right now,
right now, not now, but right now,
right now, folks, right now.
Yes,
it starts right now, and it starts with us.
It starts, yes. When I felt that I had nobody in my corner who cared, then I didn't care. I didn't care. And it's a natural procession. I wasn't getting letters. I wasn't getting packages. I didn't receive any kind of help or inspiration or encouragement from anyone. And when Patricia came, she brought all of that. And now one person I felt cared for me enough to tell me that, look, I ain't going to tolerate that. I ain't going to be sitting here going through all this searches and stuff, waiting in this hotline just to see you for a couple hours, and you're going to be up in there on cell phones, doing drugs, doing whatever it is that's illegal. I ain't having it. And I knew she cared, and I began to care. That transformed my thinking.
It doesn't need to be a wife or a lover. It can
be
a parent. It can be a brother. It can be a cousin.
It can be a brother.
It can be a best friend.
Yes. It can be your pastor. It can be your coach. It can be just somebody who want to just motivate you and influence you in a positive way.
And not
encourage
give up
you,
on you.
Yes. Encourage you not to give up on yourself.
That's what it takes.
It takes that. That's invaluable, because without that
unconditional love, it's really hard. Because the first thing that families go through, we're angry. You know, how dare you upset my life like this? This is going to be such an interruption, and then we're in denial. And, you know, this really isn't going to be that big a deal. It's just one person absent out of the family, just, you know, just one of the brothers or just a relative. So we go through all of this emotional upheaval. And I think personally that that's where LEAP helps, that you meet other families that are going through the same thing.
Yes,
and you learn how to be real with your situation, and how you feel. Share this with other people, unless there's a consensus that this is a problem, and that we're all going through it. And what can we do?
And that's a problem that faces a lot of families who have loved ones that are incarcerated, regardless of the amount of time that they're incarcerated for. You know, you have this where you feel, I'm alone. I can't share this with nobody, or I'm going to be ostracized or ridiculed, or people going to turn their backs on me and, you know, talk about me. So we're forced to be secretive about these things. And with LEAP, all the families to take each other's numbers. And when you're feeling angry about the incarceration or whatever it is you're going through, call someone on that LEAP list and say, hey, this is how I'm feeling. Because we are there for each other.
LEAP is like a 12-step program, you guys. LEAP is the 12-step program for families or the loved ones of the incarcerated. It means that there's a place to go where you can feel comfortable with your pain, or where you can feel accepted regardless of what your loved one has gone through or is going through, and you are going through, regardless of how you feel. Would that be correct, you guys?
Yes, is that, yes, exactly that, and so much more. Because, you know, when we're introduced to a family, we don't just say, at least we don't just say, here's what you do, see you later. We say, okay, this is what we have to do. This is what we have to do, and we're going to go through the whole process with you until your loved one comes home. And then after he comes home, he's going to come to LEAP, or she's going to come to LEAP, and share their story, share their experience, and pay it forward as well. It's a family. It's a family that we share the same struggle, we share the same fears, anxieties, and all of that. And this
regardless,
is where we express those fears and anxieties.
Regardless of race, class, or age, everyone is welcome. Because I met some really, really affluent people that one gentleman was telling me at a LEAP meeting, that at a recent LEAP meeting, that he and his wife were in complete denial, and that LEAP opened them up to be able to help their loved ones just first by admitting it was a problem. And then
there you go.
Then the discovery that they could do something about it.
You know what, Val? You know what one of the problems that I see over and over and over again is we have to get to a point, and it's a process, where the families no longer blame the penal system, no longer blame the establishment, because, number one, I went out and committed a crime. I made a choice.
I lost you there. Talk a little bit into the phone.
I said, well, the goal is to have families understand that, because a lot of families, they're in this sense of disbelief, anger. Okay, mm-hmm. Who are you angry at, family? Are you angry at the justice system? Are you angry at the officers or the establishment? You know, we have to get past that anger and think clearly. This has happened. This has happened. My son, my daughter, my husband, my father, my brother, my sister, they made a choice to go out and break whatever law it was, or be in the company of people who were breaking laws and got caught up.
And so
they made a choice. They made a choice. I made a choice.
Then you get to that as a family member, Patricia. You get to that, and then what? You get after the blame game. What's the next stage?
The next stage is solutions. What are we going to do to help them and be prepared? What are we going to do to get past that anger? And also for the families to understand, because the process, it's not just for the incarcerated, it's for the families as well. So the next step is solutions. We can sit here and point fingers all day long, but that's not going to bring us anything, and it's not going to fix anything. However, we can start joining programs, going to meetings, networking, and learning, and realizing and understanding knowledge is power. Then we can start being an advocate and an activist for our loved ones. Once we get past the anger, once we get past the blame game, we have to now start taking a toll and having solutions.
And that, of course, is what LEAP offers. Once again, folks, please have your pen ready. But you can reach LEAP at, what is it? What's the Facebook page, Patricia?
The Facebook page, Learn Everything About Parole Process.
And so please, friend LEAP, please friend LEAP, and also you must come to the meeting. Just save a seat for me. Just please save a seat for me. And, of course, on Facebook, you
and
can see Incarcerated Lives Matter
and
Incarcerated Lives Matter number 2. Incarcerated Lives Matter number 2, and we're at Twitter on R. Capital R, Lives, capital LIVES, Matter. And our fundraising merchandise is at tribefamilychannel.com/33HTML, although still don't know whether you have to do the 33.html. I'm still electronically challenged, y'all, but... having said that, I hope that you have all of the LEAP information. So before we cut off, I want everybody to know that they can reach LEAP at info@gmail.com, right, Patricia?
Yes, yes. And that's Leap with,
that's
two,
with
P's.
Two P's. LEAPP. Learn everything there is about the parole process. And as, of course, you are hearing Tyrone talk about what it takes to get through the parole process, then you must know by now that you play an integral role, that you as family members, that you who are listening, you make a difference. You make a big difference in someone's life. And that is why we have Incarcerated Lives Matter, because we don't want about our loved ones, even though they are away from us for now. Am I right?
Yes. Yes.
Hello. Tyrone.
Tyrone, you're right. It's important for families to play that vital role, that pivotal role in their loved ones, and to bring
sharing,
that hope.
Are you guys sharing one phone? Is that what the deal is? Is that what's going on?
Yes.
Wow. Look, for an hour and 27 minutes, truly done a phenomenal job, you know, with just little cell phones and some little electronics here and there. That's why
yes.
I think God created the internet, is so that we could all get connected, even though we're from disparate parts of the country or from disparate views. It doesn't even matter anymore. We can all stay connected. And that, to me, that's the importance of LEAP, is that learning everything about the parole process is a way for us to come together.
Yes, it is. And we hope to see everyone on Saturday. The information, the workshops are free. And the wealth of information that you'll walk away with is priceless.
And also, Patricia and Tyrone, and me, Incarcerated Lives Matter, Valerie Shaw, don't forget me, we are all available for speaking, and we would love to come to your organization, one of us, all of us, any of us, and Patricia is a wealth of resource. And, of course, please don't forget about the April seminar in Orange County. And you can learn more about that by emailing Patricia at patriciaortyrone@gmail.com. So anything that you want to know about any upcoming events or you want to be on the mailing list, we can do that. We can definitely do that. There's all kinds of options. The point is that we all need to care about the new Jim Crow. Yes, we do. And we all need to get involved, because this issue affects everybody. And that's why they call it the criminal. What do they call it? The criminal just or the complex. What is it? Criminal Justice Complex?
The Chukos Justice Center.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, I am
Chukos
serious.
Chukos Justice Center.
And so here we are, each one of us fighting little bits of the problem and not knowing what to do. And that's what LEAP offers us, is hope. In a way to get involved in saving the lives of our loved ones. It really is a matter of life and death, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And in knowing that there is hope for our loved ones to come home.
I think that there's probably nothing more important to the life or the family of someone behind bars than having hope. I think,
right.
You know, it's such an easy word, but I don't think that if we all had hope, we'd all be active.
Right. Right. It's not just having hope, but it's being active. It's being out there, walking that pavement. We are our loved ones' soldiers. We're out here turning stones. We're their eyes, their ears, their voice. We're their activists. We're their advocates. So it's hope and also working towards bringing them home.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you all so very much. You have been tuned in live on Tribe Family Channel with Incarcerated Lives Matters founder Valerie Shaw with LEAP, L-E-A-P-P, which stands for Learn Everything About the Parole Process, founders Patricia and Tyrone. We want to invite you to tune in once again when Incarcerated Lives does their next broadcast, which will be March 13th, same time, same location. Thank you so much, Tyrone, Patricia, and Valerie is going to give us her closing remarks as we sign off once again with What's Going On by Marvin Gaye. Valerie, take us out.
Thank you for having us.
If this hadn't been the premiere show, then I would have been neglect. This has been such an honor, Tyrone, Patricia, Leap, and thank you for your work. Thank you for your dedication. Thank you for all you do and for giving us hope. And that is really what's going on.
Thank you for having us.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, pick it light. It's fine. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on?
Right now.
Take it back.
Greetings. My name is Bruce George, and I'm the founder of the slogan, Genius is Common. The word genius is an elitist word, of the elitist, for the elitist, and by the elitist. And what Genius is Common basically is doing is it is tearing down the Berlin Wall of the word genius. What I would like for you to do is to join us around the world in tearing that elitist word down and putting it in the hands of the people where it belongs. In actuality, we are all geniuses. We all have a genius seed. Some call it God, some call it other things. You take a young lady who's from an inner city project, housing projects, who microbraids hair like Picasso painted, that's her genius. You take a gentleman that has been buffing floors for over 40 years where the floor looks like it's wet but it's dry, that's his genius. What we're doing around the world is we are uploading videos to YouTube expressing what our individual genius is. We would love for you to join us with this campaign. When you upload your video, make sure that you include the hashtag #GeniusIsCommon and GeniusIsCommon.com. We're looking forward to you being a part of this movement. Signing off, Bruce George, founder of the slogan Genius is Common.